You may be seated. It's not often we get to invite an actual rocket scientist to our pulpit. She's actually not a rocket scientist, but she's as smart as one, and it's close enough. Arianna McDonough is a dear friend to so many of us, a mother, sister in Christ, a wife. We're just delighted to have her here with us this morning. Arianna.
Good morning. I think Dave might be more nervous than I am. So before I get into the passage, I wanted to take the time to introduce myself for context. I was born Arianna Ewan in Pearl City, Hawaii. I'm the wife of Sean. At a picture, but that's okay. I'm the wife of Sean McDonough, and we just celebrated our 27th anniversary a couple of days ago. I'm the mother of Siobhan, Patrick, Keanu, and Daniel. And I also work part-time as a mechanical engineer at GE Aviation in Lynn. So we can just put, yes, that's my engine there, the program I'm in charge of. So this is not my normal comfort zone. In fact, when Dave asked me to share, I thought about it, and my first, second, and even third instinct was maybe to politely decline or even avoid the question altogether. But I thought it would be helpful and fun to have an engineer up here, because usually we have liberal arts types folks. So my comfort zone is typically one-on-one conversations, swimming in the Pacific Ocean, gardening, reading, walking, baking, helicopter engines, and jet engines. And mainly when I speak in front of people, I do technical presentations, speaking to a lot of men engineers and a few women engineers. So this morning, I thought I'd tackle this as an engineer. I start my meetings with an objective, so you know what's coming and why we're here. So today, we're going to look at the ideal woman in the Bible that we just read about, and see how she relates to the reality of our lives. And I'd like to share some of my thoughts with you this morning. Let's pray. Lord, as we open up your word, please give us the wisdom to understand what we hear and apply it to our lives. Amen. So who is this woman that we just heard Priscilla read about? She's in the last 20 verses of the last book of Proverbs. She's so famous that around the world she's known as the Proverbs 31 woman. She's the epitome of a wife, mother, member of the community. The verses describe her as a businesswoman, landowner, seamstress, and farmer. She has boundless energy. She's gracious, kind, loving, shrewd, generous, wise, servant-minded. She's intimidating. She's the first superwoman probably ever written about. It says right there in verse 29, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. If women were put into a pyramid, she'd be the tip-top of the women pyramid. So as a young Christian in high school and college, I looked up to her. I thought, what a great example of an ideal woman. It seems impossible, but is it? So I'd like to give you an illustration of why we need ideals. We need something to strive for. We don't want to sink to the bottom. So let's think about a toddler first learning to tie his shoelaces. He tries and tries, and finally in frustration, he gives up and ends up with a series of knots, or maybe just leaving them untied. And he says, that's what works for me. I'm doing it my way. And the parent, afraid of damaging his self-image for the rest of his life, says, that's great. Yes, whatever works for you. To be quite honest, leaving your shoelaces in knots or untied doesn't really work. We need an idea to strive for. So when I was thinking about the illustration for the shoelaces this morning, I thought, naively, there were only two different ways to tie shoelaces, so I thought I'd do research, and there's some guy named Ian, when you Google him, that has a shoelace site, and there's actually 20 different ways to tie shoelaces correctly and countless ways to tie them incorrectly. So let me give you an example from my job. I'm a mechanical engineer, but my job function is a systems engineer. What that means is that we own the whole engine. We don't do all the work on the engine, but we own the whole engine, from an idea on paper to designing the parts, building, assembly, test, production in the field, and any field issues that might come with it, as well as controlling the cost and schedule. Again, we don't do the whole work, but we're in charge of it. So when trying to understand any problem as a systems engineer, the first thing you need to do is understand how to get to the 100% solution. You don't have to get there, but to understand how to get there. But then there are business constraints. There's never unlimited resources, cost, time, people. So we have to understand that. And in the end, most often, as our systems engineer, the job is to lead the team to the 80% solution. No, that doesn't mean planes are falling out of the air or your engine only starts 80% of the time. It means maybe there's a little less performance and a little less fuel efficiency, but it's the 80% solution. So our job is to translate the 100% engineering solution and business position to make a realistic, attainable engine. So without understanding ideals, we don't know what to strive for. But without understanding the reality of the situation, we could just be frustrated and not understanding our limits. The Proverbs 31 is the 100% solution. Let's face it, if we were the 80% solution, that'd still be pretty good. So the problem with ideals is looking at people from afar, we think they might be perfect. And as we get closer and we share with them, we see that they have struggles. We say, she makes it look easy, but we didn't know that she has these struggles. There's a reality to every story. So let's take a look at this next slide. Young people with young eyes, what do you see there? What's the matter with that picture? Correct, that's one person wearing two different shoes. They're both black shoes, but they're not matching. So most people get this right every day. Even small children get this right when they learn how to match their shoes. This is my feet at work 3 weeks ago. It's at 1 o'clock in the afternoon after I went to four meetings. I've already been at work for 6 hours. I sat down for lunch and I realized I had two different shoes on, which was perfect for the illustration. Most people can match their shoes every day. You guys are already way ahead of me. I promise I have them matched today. So this morning, we're gonna talk about two things. We already know that the Proverbs 31 woman works hard, but I wanna talk about where the Proverbs 31 works and how she works. So let's talk about where this woman works. I mean physical locations. Where does she work? We can see from this passage that she uses her gifts to serve God inside and outside of the house. Let me start by saying sometimes it's a choice for us to stay home with our children full time and work outside the home. Sometimes it's absolutely not a choice. Sometimes you need to go to work, or sometimes you need to stay at home. It's done because of the family situation. So I'll preface it with that. There's a tension and a struggle to this, and it's important to understand, for all of us to understand, the tension between work-life balance so we can provide support as a family, as friends, as co-workers and bosses. So the Proverbs 31 woman works inside the home. In verse 27, it says, she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She supports her husband, he trusts her, she brings in food and provides for her family. She rises early, is dedicated to her family, and she is strong. No one would call her weak. They might be sorry if she did. Being at home is very hard work. I remember from my life when I had four children under the age of six, living overseas and in the US, I was so tired at the end of the day. It took me all day to dress, feed, change, clothe them, clean them, maybe get to the park, and then you come home and you start all over again and you put them to bed. I was exhausted. I barely had time to brush my hair. Some days I just felt so unorganized. I was tired, starved for adult conversation. But I loved reading to my children. I loved building Legos, seeing them grow, seeing them change and being around them. There's a lot of work for staying at home, and there's a lot of reward. Serve God and your family in your home. So essentially, I was at home with my children, four of my children, for 13 years. Sometimes I did work a few hours to support Sean through graduate school or when Sean was teaching in Fiji. But basically, I was at home. When the kids got back to school, when our youngest was seven, it was a blessing to get back to work part-time as an engineer for the past 11 years. I've experienced working inside and outside of the home, as many of you have. So let's talk about work outside of the home. And I'm talking about work, either paid or volunteer, in the community. Just getting out. Let's look at the passage. In verse 16, the Proverbs 31 woman, she considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. In verse 20, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. In verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. Now, some of you may remember the old TV shows from the 1950s and the commercials, right? Perfect women stuck in the house. And then in the 1960s, Gloria Steinem came in and the feminist movement, and that's where we think the floodgates opened for women to work outside of the home. Well, Proverbs 31 was written long before the 1960s feminist movement. Women have worked outside the home for millennia. But remember, there's a balance between an obsessed career woman and the perfect homemaker. So why work outside of the home? Why is it valuable? Well, for very basic reasons, it's a change of pace. It gets you out of the home. If you're leading a Bible study for a couple hours a week or volunteering at the food pantry, it's still good work. It gets you out of the home. There's the ability to be salt and light and witness to the Word of God and our Christian faith. But the actual work itself is pleasing to God and valuable to Him. It's likely that the Proverbs 31 woman made good quality clothes. They didn't fall apart when she threw them into the washing machine. Or she didn't cheat her customers with the prices. The work of your hands make the world a better place. If you're good at words, write to God's glory. If you're good at music, bring joy to people. Food pantry workers, landscapers, teachers, accountants, nurses, cleaning folks, those are all valuable skills. Using your gifts to serve God is a way of loving your neighbor. Loving your neighbor is one of Jesus' commandments. Work is not just the time to pass until Sunday or your Tuesday night missions meeting, or even as a means to make money. The work itself is pleasing to God. Use your gifts to serve Him. So we see that the Proverbs 31 woman works outside of the home. But how do we juggle this? Does work-life balance even exist? Recently, at a Global Women's in Technology conference that I listened to virtually through my computer, one woman engineer asked the executive panel from our company, our worldwide company, what is your advice to those of us that are feeling so overwhelmed with work and family that we are thinking of leaving the workforce? It was a great question. The first male executive gave the expected answer. He said, "Don't assume that the company can't help you. Talk to your manager, ask for flexible hours, maybe a flexible workplace, job share, ask your friends, coworkers, friends and family." Now the next male executive, and I have to say he was the vice president of aviation engineering, so my sector, he said, "I'm gonna take a different approach." And he said, "Maybe you should leave the workforce." And he said it just like that. You could almost hear the worldwide gasp of hundreds of women in science and engineering, and I was just sitting at my desk. I call it the shock heard around the world. He continued on, "Step out of your job, do what you need to do at home or elsewhere, keep your work connections, you won't forget how to be an engineer, and come back and work when you're ready." He was brutally honest. I'm sure he got a lot of emails from women around the world, because at the next all-hands meeting for all the employees for aviation engineers, he addressed it again. He said it in a softer way, but he said the exact same thing. He said, "Maybe you should leave the workforce." I, in fact, appreciated his honesty. I asked some of my women colleagues that have been working at aviation for 20 to 25 years. They also appreciated his honesty. Over the years, I have heard many senior executives say you can have it all without acknowledging the work-life tension. It makes us regular women feel like we are doing something wrong when we struggle. Why can't we do this? Why is it so hard? My personal experience of work and life came crashing together 2 years after I had returned to work. I was working to lead a safety initiative in the field. An engine was having a problem, and it was very important because it was a safety issue. And we were getting to the close of the investigation, almost had the answer, and my manager, two above me, said, "Ariana, I want you to come into the office tomorrow, present to the team how to go forward with this fix." And I stood in his corner office looking out the window, and I said, "I can't come in tomorrow." And inside I was thinking, "I don't come into the office on Fridays. I can't come in tomorrow." And he said, "Well, what could be more important than the safety issue? And he's right, that's most important in our business. And I thought, and I knew what the conflict I had, but I didn't want to say it. And finally, I felt I had to say it. And I said, "This may sound silly, but my third grade son has a field trip. I'm the chaperone. I need to go to the Stone Zoo. I promised the parents, I promised him. And in our town, it's super competitive to get into field trips. You have one a year." And before I could even start explaining, he said, "Oh, why didn't you tell me it was family?" "Sure, you need to go, and we'll finish it up on Monday." Now, that manager has been one of my biggest supporters over the year and to this day, over the years. But there are times where I had to miss a concert for my daughter because I was on a work trip. So it's not always easy, and it doesn't always work out the way you want. So how do we practically juggle this? Again, sacrifices need to be made. Maybe you sacrifice the extra income. Maybe you have to sacrifice some time with family. Maybe it's the choice of job. Maybe you have to go to a non-traditional work arrangement. Paul himself addressed this in a peripheral way in 1 Corinthians 7 when he talked about being married and saying that, you know, family considerations, you might not be able to devote your whole time to ministry because of that, and he understood. So my advice is pray, ask advice, talk to those that will be affected by your decisions and listen to them. Go out in faith and confidently make the best choices you can at the time, depending on your situation. If you need to change directions, be humble enough and confident enough to do that. Life is not all smooth sailing, clear skies, rainbows, or puppy dogs. Proverbs 31 doesn't mention when the woman's children are sick and she can't go into the market, when her husband has kidney stones. So forget about working in the land, or she tears her ACL in her knee, she can't get out of the bed, never mind rise early, or the buyer undercuts her sale price to erase her profits. That is real life. So consider this, what are your gifts? Where can you serve God? What are you and your family's limits and needs? We have just talked about where the Proverbs 31 woman works, inside and outside of the home. So now we'll move on to how she works. And I mean how she goes about doing her work every day. So it seems like she goes about doing her work flawlessly, because that is the ideal. She is loved by anyone, everyone. Why not? She is gracious and kind and generous. In verse 25, it says she is clothed with strength and dignity. 26, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. And my very favorite is her children arise and calls her blessed, and her husband also, he praises her. She is known at the city gates, fits into the community. She gets along with everyone. Now, does it seem strange that she is talked about this way in Proverbs 31? We actually talk about people this way in our day and age. I just went to a colleague's retirement party. He had worked at the company for 40 years. It was a fun night of laughter. They talked about his successes. There were letters from all over the world, from the customers and coworkers said positive things, and that's exactly what it should be at a retirement party. But no one will, and again should mention, when he got frustrated, when his program was over cost and schedule, when he made a mistake in the analysis. We say ideal things even today because that's how we talk, and especially at a retirement party. The Proverbs 31 woman gives us something to strive for because she's described in an ideal way. So let's get into the detail of how a Proverbs 31 woman works inside and outside of the home. Again, she brings her husband good, not harm. She provides for her family. She keeps her lamp on at night, appears to do all the things a wife and mother should do. So here's a true story from a little boy's point of view, and none of whom are sitting here today. The little boy goes over to a friend's house. His friend's mother is so nice. She has amazing food, the house is clean, she looks nice, she probably even smells nice. Imagine a real-life 1950s June Cleaver. The little boy comes home from the friend's house and innocently, as most little boys can do, tells his mother, "Hey mom, why can't you go to the same mom school as my friend's mom?" The Proverbs 31 woman is probably principal of this mom school, sort of like Harry Potter's Hogwarts school. I don't even know where that mom school is or how to enroll. Again, the passage shows us the ideal in the home, but what is the reality? Can you imagine if the Bible read this way? Her children rise up and say, "You forgot to pack my lunch. You're so embarrassing in front of my friends. You're not paying attention to me," while she's looking at her phone. Her husband says, "Dinner is late again since you came home late. You never have time for me. How come you haven't paid that bill yet?" Just like the retirement mom party, this passage talks about only the positive aspects. We can do the same exercise for the reality of work outside the home. But the Proverbs 31 woman, nevertheless, is kind. She takes care of her family inside the home. She can see outside the home she is well known and respected at the city gate. I did want to take the time to emphasize that one aspect of her work outside the home is she interacts with a lot of people. She values her relationships and in turn is valued. She spends time developing the relationships around her. She gets to know people. It's not just a cursory hello and smile, though that would be a good start. Growing up in Hawaii, when I came to the mainland, I struggled with answering the question, "How are you?" and everyone says "fine" as a form of greeting. I still struggle with that, so much so that while I'm formulating the answer, the person's long gone. Getting to know people takes time. Be honest in your relationships and get to know the people in your class, your office, volunteer activities, your neighborhood, and even the guy that inspects your car. I realized that for 17 years, I've taken my car, two cars, to the same guy every year. So that might just seem like a one-off, but that's 34 times. I've gotten to know that he's from the Middle East. We have a little chat. It's a little different now because they have all those cameras, so you can't actually stand and chat with them. But you can take, it's those small things that make the difference, is taking the time to get to know people. So in your work, inside and outside of the home, what do you want to be remembered for in the ultimate retirement party? So as I draw to a close, let me share with you one last true story from work. It was the second day or the first day that I came back to work in 2007 in the engine plant. I was talking to a guy that he was my coworker and he's now a friend. And we were walking, he was going to give me a tour of the engine and test and assembly area. He was raised in another country and came from a different religious background. As we walked, it's about a 10-minute walk, he said, "What does your husband do?" I said, "He teaches New Testament." There was silence. And I thought he didn't seem familiar with the New Testament. So I said, "He teaches the Bible. We are Christians." There was more silence. "Oh," he said, "you live the Bible." I thought about it. I maybe even stopped walking. "I'm trying to live the Bible," I said, "but it's a challenge." We're all trying to live the Bible. The passage calls living the Bible, fear of the Lord. Near the end of the Proverbs 31 passage, it says in verse 30, "Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." Fear means awe and deep respect. Remember when Jeff Arthurs talked about the book of Proverbs at the beginning of the month? It's a positive thing, not a negative. The Proverbs 31 woman is revered throughout history. She fears the Lord. She fears the Lord in her work inside and outside of the house. The fear of the Lord permeates her character and how she works. She fears the Lord in her relationships with her family and community. Fear of the Lord is the foundation for her life. It's the foundation of wisdom, and it's the foundation of the book of Proverbs. So we have seen the ideal of the Proverbs 31 woman, and we're going to end today by returning to my comfort zone. I end every engineering meeting with action items or go forward plan. So here are our action items and go forward plan. Number one. Where do you work? List three ways this week that you will use your gifts to serve God inside and outside of the home. Number two, how do you work? Pick two character qualities that you may need improvement on and ask God to help you work on them this year. If you don't know what they are, I'm sure someone would be able to help you with them. One place that I found is a good place to start might be the fruits of the Spirit found in Galatians 5:22-23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And think about something that's concrete. Don't just say, I want to be more kind to people this year. Think about how you will do that. Or self-control. Don't just say, I want to have more self-control. What about not being king of the road? When somebody, you know, passes you or cuts you off, having self-control. And thirdly, now for the future, take time to spend with God, to know Him, fear the Lord, respect Him, and give the reverence that He is due. So that is your ideal task set for the week. Let's see what the reality will be.
Stand and sing together as a witness.